We have used up a bit of time this morning with some other things. We've been talking a little bit about mission, whether it's Beach Mission or Mission Australia, down at Midtown. And we're coming to a part about being disciples of Jesus, apprentices to the Master, which we're going to be encouraged and challenged to think about mission as well. So there you go. Isn't that nice? It all fits in this morning in some way. So as we think about it, I've told you a little bit in the previous weeks about what it is to be an apprentice, some of the things that it looks like to be an apprentice as we understand it today, as well as thinking of how Jesus had apprentices as the master or as the rabbi, had disciples. And some of these apply, a lot of these apply to what we're looking at this morning, whether it's a student learning a way of life or very much real life experiences and opportunities for the apprentice. We're going to look at that in a moment. It was in the reading, all the way down to a fixed period of low wages. That actually is there quite significantly today in the reading. There's a lot of low wages for that fixed period for the apprentice. So let's get into it. We don't have a lot of time. I do want to give you an overarching context. We've come from Matthew 5 through Matthew 7, which was the classroom. It was the Sermon on the Mount. It was Jesus the Master giving a lecture to his disciples about what it's going to be like in the kingdom, who it is that is blessed in the kingdom as they live a life that is shaped in a different way to the way that the world usually lives life. So that's the classroom. Not a lot going on. Then in chapters 8 to 9, they went on a field trip. Do you remember last year? They followed Jesus around as Jesus went from talking about living in the kingdom to actually living out life in the kingdom as somebody who is a fully fledged, spirit-filled, kingdom-living person. And part of what that involved was them watching Jesus heal people. Do you remember that from last week? That was one of the things that happened. They watched Jesus. So notice the progression. Classroom, field trip, and now, hence the picture, deep end. Jesus goes, go for it. And he throws them in the deep end. Now, if you have been observant, we missed this, we skipped over it, Matthew chapter 9, who gets called as a disciple? Matthew. Now we're in chapter 10. Like, man, he didn't even get the classroom bit. And he gets kicked straight in. And this is one of the interesting things. Sometimes we love this idea of just sitting back and just always learning until we're ready, until we're comfortable. Jesus is like, nah, it's time to push you out. Why would you want to just learn about living when you can live? But we make a bit of a thing in life, don't we? We watch movies about life rather than live life. We look up how to live life on the internet rather than living life. We like being a step back from the action. Jesus says, no, 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 that's not the way. And so the context is we're going from the classroom, we're going to a field trip, now we're into the deep end. He sends out the 12. He also later sends out 72, just so you know as well, but right now he's just sending out the 12. This is a part of really good teaching. Talk to them about it, give them some theory, then show them how it's done, send them out. I was a woodwork teacher. You'd have a bandsaw there. That's right. They use those in butcher shops as well. And you'd show the kid how to use the bandsaw without chopping your fingers off. You might actually give them a worksheet with theory about the bandsaw. Then you show them how to do it, and then eventually you go, okay, it's time for you to use the bandsaw. And so that's where we're up to. Verse 1 says, Jesus called the 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the things they've watched him do. Jesus now goes, well, you're going to do it now. I give you authority to do that. I give you what it is that you need to be able to do, what it is that I've been doing. And the word that is used there is authority, which is a word that for us today comes with a whole bunch of baggage and other alternate, perhaps, meanings and thoughts. But just for a moment, this is Jesus saying, this is what you need to do the job. This is your bandsaw license. And you can go and use that bandsaw. There's no bandsaw. You have authority to cast out demons, to heal diseases, all those sorts of things. And then we get to verses 2 to 4, and Cindy did very well with the names. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the tax collector, only recently arrived to the group, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. There's 12 of them. There's a bunch of good eggs, aren't they? Maybe there's a bad egg or two in there? There's a bad egg in there, isn't there? I know who you're thinking. Peter. I love to give Peter a hard time. Jesus actually bookends them, doesn't he? I've got Peter at one end, at the other end of the bookend, I've got Judas. So this is the other thing that's interesting as well. We often hold back and hesitate, not just in pushing ourselves forwards at times, but also giving other people permission to move forward. Jesus is actually like, yeah, you're probably going to fall flat on your face a little bit at points, but this is life in the kingdom, and unless you start to try to walk that way, then you'll never walk that way. And so they're all given the opportunity, and note, they are given the authority. Once again, we'll look at the word authority in a little bit more in a moment, but they're given the authority. Judas, go cast out demons. Peter, go and heal people. And off they go. Verses 5 to 8, we then move on. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. This is what they're supposed to do. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. No, don't go out there to the others. Instead, rather to the lost sheep of Israel. This is their first assignment. So let's not go cray-cray. Let's just do it with those who are part of God's people traditionally, the Israelites. Go to them. Go to those who he describes as the lost sheep of Israel. He says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Notice Jesus has given them authority. We'll look at more of that in a moment. He's given them authority to do these things. And he says, you didn't have to pass a test to get that authority. You didn't have to jump through small fiery hoops. You didn't even have to get ordained. I freely give you that authority. So don't go out there and go, oh, you want to be healed? I can do that for a tenner. Don't do that. You've freely been given. Freely give. And so they're encouraged to go out, and as they've been given, to give. They're doing a home mission sort of thing rather than an overseas mission, just to Israel. Freely use the authority that has freely been given to them. And so they do that. Now, Jesus still, I think he needs some PR work with regard, especially in relation to, I guess, trying to get people to get on board with the mission. He says, be on your guard. There is a small possibility that you might one day, if things go really badly, be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. Actually, he says, you will. If you look later on, he says, when you are arrested, not if you are arrested. He says, when you are arrested. It's pretty heavy for a moment, isn't it? Matthew's probably thinking, I only just got here, fair dinkum. But this is what Jesus sets up as a reality for what it is that they are going to step into. And there's this irony at this moment, isn't there? Jesus does what we would struggle to do at some points, like in the church when it comes to authority and, for example, ordaining somebody to be a minister in the Presbyterian Church of New South Wales. They have to jump through 4 years of small fiery hoops. Jesus doesn't do that. He goes, oh, Matthew, oh, welcome, everyone, this is Matthew. Now, by the way, I have given you authority, out you go. But he also goes, and it's going to be hell. The small fiery hoops are not to be able to do it. The small fiery hoops are what you are going to discover out there as you do it. He doesn't promise that it's going to be easy. He stresses that it's going to be difficult. And so I just want for a moment, and we don't have a lot of time, just for a moment, moving very, very quickly, for us to note this. The disciples knew Jesus. They knew who he was. They saw him. He was a human being in their presence. And it was him, Jesus, who gave them the authority to do what it is that he had asked them to do. They, excuse me, they knew they had the authority. And so off they toddled. We all know what toddling means, don't we? It's a word my aunt used to use. They knew Jesus gave them the authority. They knew they had the authority, and so off they toddled with the authority. That's what Jesus did. He sent them out. Do you know that Jesus... Sorry, you also know Jesus. And do you... There's a question here. Do you know the authority that Jesus has given to you? Do you know that you have it? And have you toddled off? Because what we're seeing here is the pattern that is not just for these 12 disciples at that time. It's the pattern for all of those who are Jesus' disciples. That you and I are, yes, meant to go out at some point. And the church has set it up, which sort of says, oh, if you're going to do evangelism, you need to have, you know, evangelism training behind you and all these different things. But just for a moment, yes, there was training. But there was always training with the idea that you would go and use it. And that's something that we often struggle with, isn't it? Now, the interesting thing is that if you go out and you were to share your faith in some way, to give what you've freely been given, do you know, I don't think you will get arrested. And I'm pretty sure you won't get flogged. There's this thing called the Great Commission, which happens right at the end of Jesus' ministry. Now, notice what Jesus is doing here. I've got it up on the screen for you. It's from Matthew 28, 18 to 20. You know the Great Commission. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. There's that authority word, isn't there? It's there again. And I think once again, it's not as clear here, but I think what Jesus is saying is all authority has been given to me. Now go, take that authority. I'm not keeping it here with me. I'm giving it to you once again to go out and do the things that need to be done so that you can live kingdom lives and walk a kingdom way in the world so that people will see the kingdom. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This isn't just to Israel now. This is to everybody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Notice that promise at the end. I will be with you to the very end of the age. I'm going to send you all out now, he says. And there's no coming back at the end of the week. This is the thing now. But notice that I will be with you wherever you go. And in this Great Commission, we have Jesus the Master saying to his apprentices now, this is actually a graduation ceremony. Can you see that? They've done the placement. They've done the block placement as the 12. And then later other people come on board. And there's 72 people. They do the block placement. If you have done teacher training or done nursing or whatever, you have a block placement. This is in Matthew chapter 10, the block placement. They've done that. This is the graduation now. This is where Jesus says, you're still my disciples, but you've actually graduated in the sense that you are now being called to be a master who now has disciples. Can you see the transition that has occurred? Go and now make disciples yourself. Now, there's a little bit of a funny thing because ultimately they're Jesus' disciples, but Jesus is asking us now to be the rabbi who has the disciples for him. There's disciples who make disciples. So I said we talk about authority and we're starting to go over time, but Jesus has all the authority. Jesus makes that really clear. As just for a moment, whatever authority looks like, let's just note a couple of things. One, he entrusts us with authority to do the things that he has entrusted us to do. So when it comes to what's happening in Matthew 10, he has given them authority to what? To heal diseases, to cast out demons. He hasn't given them authority to arrest people and flog them. The church at times has thought they have that authority, but that's not the authority that Jesus ever gave them. And it is Jesus' authority. It always remains as his authority. And it's his to give and his to take away. And it comes with responsibility. But one of the key things in all of it, as he freely gives it to us, is that ultimately it is authority that is given to us to encourage, to build up, to serve, and even in the context of Matthew 10, to suffer. That's what it is the authority for. Jesus was the one who gave the Apostle Paul his marching orders, and the Apostle Paul, when he talks about his authority as an apostle, says, the authority I have is the authority to build others up. In other words, it's an authority to serve. It's not the authority for you to serve me, Paul says, it's my authority that I've been given to serve you. It's a bit counterintuitive and a bit upside down to what we're used to, but this is the authority that Jesus hands on to his disciples. And so I'm going to land this very quickly, and I hope, because it has been quick, that there's enough dots for you to draw together. But this is the way that it works. Masters have disciples who become masters, who have disciples who become masters, who have disciples who become masters, who have disciples who become masters. That's the way it works. And Jesus is starting that with these in Matthew chapter 10. He's starting that process with these disciples. And at the end of it, at graduation day, he says, you go out now and you make disciples, teaching them what I have taught you, he says. Teaching them to follow me, he says. A master will model what it is that he is the master of. A disciple watches the master model it, and then he does it. And so notice in all of this, there isn't somebody who becomes a teacher who steps out and never does it. If you are a disciple, or if you are somebody who is discipling others, you are in the process. You are acting with the authority that you've been given to serve, to love, to share. And so later in chapter 10, and this isn't part of our reading, we've missed it, but from verse 27, Jesus has this little invitation to his disciples as they go out in his name with his authority with regards to what it is that they've been entrusted to share. And so this wasn't a part of our Bible reading, so maybe you're looking at it for the first time. So let's go through it for a moment. From verse 27, Jesus says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Now, I'm not sure if I fully get what Jesus is saying, but I guess my spin, what I took from it, especially for me today, is that as I follow Jesus today through his Spirit, and as I spend time with him, sometimes in silence and sometimes in solitude and sometimes in the dark and in the quiet, that I listen for a voice, for a whisper that teaches me his ways and his love and what it is that he has done for me. And Jesus is saying, don't keep that to yourself. That is freely given to you. Now go and freely share that. He says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. In other words, yes, maybe there's floggings, maybe there's arrest, maybe there's ridicule, maybe some people won't want to be your friend. But rather, he says, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Which is really a bit of a hard word for us this morning, isn't it? He's saying, don't be scared. Don't be scared of somebody who might just be able to hurt you physically. Be scared of the one who can destroy you. But I love the fact that that's not where it finishes. Because the thing that Jesus wants you to know is that even as you are sent out, and maybe you are scared as you are sent out on mission by him, that whatever does happen to you, it will not be lost to him. He will see it. He will know. And his love and his care will still be with you and for you. And so Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The context, Jesus says, you're going to get arrested. You're going to get flogged. But know that you are not alone. In summary, you have freely received God's love, God's grace. And what God asks of you in having freely received that is that you would freely give that. In fact, he says you have authority to give that, to go and share that in a world that is hungry and desperate for love and grace and forgiveness. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it freely. It's been a real encouragement this morning to hear a bit about Lake Conjola and also hear what's been happening down at Midtown and the opportunities there. But of course, that's not the limit of what happens in our lives through the week and what it is that God brings before us and what God nudges us gently to and towards. So why don't we pray about what this week holds, what it holds for you, what it holds for me, that we would freely give what God has given us. Let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love. As we think of our Savior Jesus and his death on a cross for us, we recognize that we have been given much more than we deserve. And we think of Jesus and how he went about that, and it was not something that he did begrudgingly, but something he did willingly and freely for us. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we receive that, that that would not be something, that reality, that love that becomes stuck with us, that we wouldn't hold on to it and hog it and keep it and make others earn it, but that we would be willing, just as we've freely received it, to freely give it. In Jesus' name, amen.